Open your Bibles to Luke chapter 21, Luke chapter 21. Simple title of the message, What Brings Us the Greatest Joy? Just two verses today. Jesus is not far from the cross, and his message is heightened. We ought to pay attention to everything that Jesus says. So there is, I do love as he approaches his death, his crucifixion, that I take note. I think of it this way, right? Brother Lee told me about a 63-year-old that's having some trouble this morning, and I said, "Wow, he's so young." I wouldn't have said that 30 years ago. I'd say, "Well, he's lived a good life." But it is, when Jesus comes to the end, I want to learn from him, so that if I have time to be aware of my end, that I would have the mind of Christ, I would have the spirit of Christ. Remember last week we talked about just three things that I think we can glorify God with, and he talked about this widow with her two mites. And she will be a wonderful woman to meet up in heaven. And she will not like the fanfare. And I don't know if there's going to be fanfare for her, but I'm a fan of that widow, whatever that means. Because she gave me a great example of just sacrificial commitment to Christ. It was good. Now let's just read these two verses, chapter 21, verse 5 and 6. And Jesus is about to go into some prophetic scriptures. Some of them would be near term. It would be in 70 AD, Jerusalem will be destroyed. So we're talking roughly 40 years. And then others relate to when he returns. And so it's going to be some fabulous scriptures. We'll love those. But as Jesus was preaching, he comes to verse 5, and just let's look at verse 5 and 6. And as some spake of the temple, how it was adorned with goodly stones and gifts, he said, "As for these things which ye behold, the days will come in the which there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." Just listen to me. I'm going to read Mark 13, same account, same true account. It's this, Mark 13, verse 1. And as he went out of the temple, one of his disciples said unto him, "Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here!" Exclamation point. You don't see a lot of exclamation points in the Bible, but I think that's correct. And Jesus answering said unto him, "See thou these great buildings? There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." I had different thoughts on the title. The one I landed on was "What Brings Us the Greatest Joy." I had "What Brings Us Joy." And it's going to be the center of this message, and it's this. I love serving with you, and sometimes I when I feel your stress, and it's sometimes spiritual stress. There's only one person to look at times. I'm like, am I causing you spiritual stress? I want us to get with it, and I praise the Lord. You're a people that get with it. I love serving with you, and so I preach strong, but I never want you to forget the joy in Christ. I want us to see problems as open doors. I want us to see trouble as gifts from God. I want us to see the difficulties of life as blessings from God. It's just temporary. And I want you to love life. I want you to enjoy Christ, and he does too. And sometimes I feel like I should preach this message to myself every other day, maybe every day, that I never forget that the greatest privilege in life is to be a Christian. And there's just nothing even close. And so I'm going to start there today, and I know most of you, and I challenge you, is Jesus truly yours? Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you enjoy Him? Do you love Him? Have you truly, truly turned from your sin and placed your complete confidence, your complete trust in Jesus Christ? And I get it. We can forget how good it is to be a Christian. Troubles in life, circumstances. We are in comparative culture on steroids. Just talking about that with some people this week. It is so difficult because somebody has it better than you, man, and they're like loving life if you really believe, you know, Facebook and all these other social media things, right? It's the one that we need to keep our eyes on is Christ. I beg you this, do you know Christ? I want us to have the joy of the Lord. Let's just look at a few scriptures. And so, you know, when I use this passage, I use this passage because Herod the Great did marvelous architectural work and beautification of the temple. And it was magnificent. Now, it would still pale in comparison to Solomon's temple. But Herod was just trying to endear the people to himself. And man, he knew what to do. And he did some magnificent beautification of the temple. And the Israelites, that was sort of everything to them. The temple actually became almost an idol, if not an idol for some, where they worshiped the building and not the one that the building was to represent. And it was to remind us of the great, good, perfect, holy God. And so you saw, and you at least heard from Mark 13, that people said, "Master, look at these stones. Look at this work. Look at these buildings. Aren't they magnificent?" And in one sense, I do love this. So I can be so critical sometimes. It is, they were just, I think even the people that said it were like, "Haven't we done well? You know, this is," and I think maybe they meant, "This is for you." And but he was just reminding them, it's not about a building. You know, I love the old preacher. He said, you know, a church building is just a tool. It's a fishing boat to help us fish for men. We better never worship a building. And our building's not one to be worshipped anyway, but it is just even the location, right? It's about Christ. I remind us today of the joy of the Lord. If we forget that, if we forget the greatest blessing of being a Christian is Jesus Christ. The greatest blessing of being a Christian is to know God and to walk with Him and to talk with Him and to serve Him. You know, I love Psalm 23. And if we have the greatest valley of the shadow of death I have ever seen. I have nearly killed myself several times coming down the stairs, but I'm so glad that they put the valley of the shadow of death, because I wasn't sure what we were doing. I missed the theme. But it is a great valley of the shadow of death. You see, the Bible's clear that, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me." Right? The Bible doesn't play games. Life's going to be hard. The Bible's clear, life is hard because of sin. But somehow, by God's grace, doesn't mean that we won't have weeping. It doesn't even mean that there might be wailing. But can we, by God's grace, have joy in the middle of sorrow? Have joy in the middle of trouble? Have joy in just in life? I want you to know this. As much as I preach, this is probably the most important message I could ever preach to Christians. It is about keeping our joy in Christ. Let's just look at a few verses here. Psalm chapter 16, verse 11. Psalm chapter 16, verse 11. He said, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. You see that? In thy presence is fullness of joy. I remind you of this. It is a beautiful thing. I do love this, and it happens all over the world, right? I love the Lord's churches. People come here, and it has nothing to do with us. If we take it wrong, people go, man, I don't know what's going on at your church, but when I come into that building, something's different. And if we're not careful, we go like, it's us, my friend. You won't ever tell me. No, you know what's different? Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there will I be in the midst of them also. And to be in his presence, we have no idea how glorious that is. And there is a special presence of Jesus Christ. God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. But Christ is in the midst today. It is glorious, and you're benefiting from it. And it has nothing to do with the songs. It has nothing to do with the preacher. It has everything to do with Jesus Christ. And in thy presence is fullness of joy. Psalm 36, verse 7-9. How excellent is thy loving kindness. We must remember how good God is. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light we shall see light. It's God. It's his presence. And I know this. Maybe you're sitting here today. This is not, if you've lost that joy, it's in Christ. Ask God to rekindle your love, your delight, your joy in him. Psalm 107, verse 9, I won't point to it because good thing nobody's sitting right here, but it's pretty close. But it says, for he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. It's let Christ be our satisfaction. I want us to remember this. When we get disgruntled with life, when we get unhappy, when we get stressed out, when we are just, you know, we just don't think we can handle one more thing, turn to Christ. Turn to Christ. Doesn't mean it's going to be fixed in 5 minutes. Turn to Christ. Stay turned to Christ. Stay focused on Christ. Soak in Christ. Enjoy the Lord. That's where help is. There's a lot of helps in this world. The greatest help is Christ. Enjoy him. Look at Habakkuk 3:17-19. And what I love about this is talking about enjoying the Lord in spite of circumstances. Sean and I talked this verse earlier this week, and I kept asking him, so I said this. I said, although the fig tree shall not blossom, I said, is that good? He said, no. Neither shall fruit be in the vines. Is that good? He said, no. The labor of the olive shall fail. Is that good? No. And the field shall yield no meat. Not good. The flock shall be cut off from the fold. Bad. And there shall be no herd in the stalls. Even worse. Does that feel like you're weak? Yet, and by God's grace, I want you to be determined. God, I want this yet in my life. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. And he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. You got to understand, this is agricultural time. In those first few verses, he's saying, if I lose it all, if I get no crops from this year's planting, if the fig tree fails, if the fruit on the vines fail, if the olive fails, if the field you know meets, the flocks are gone, there's no oxen in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. I do appreciate people that are worst-case scenario people. I'm kind of a worst-case scenario people. So, you know, when I gave you the example, I said, if only five kids come this week. If five kids come, I know what I'm doing. I'm going out there and I'm like, hey, I'm taking a bullhorn. And you know, yeah, it'll be like $100 for anybody. You guys know. I know. Okay, Steve, that's not right. I know. Pull me back. But I'm going out there because part of me says, this is probably weakness, and I don't want you to bear this burden of mine. When things don't go well, you know what I do? Work harder. And you know, I need to trust the Lord more. I do think we ought to be hard workers, but I can't put my hope in my hard work. You follow me? My response sometimes is not the Lord. My response is, ah. And then I can spiritualize it. I can say, well, the reason I respond that way is because I didn't do enough. And it's because I don't trust the Lord. So I'm a worst case scenario kind of guy. But I will tell you this. I preach this to myself all the time. I'm going to enjoy life. I will tell you this. I love this. You see this? Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. If he's truly the God of your salvation, if you're truly born again, what can go wrong? I know. It is. Life is hard. But I'm going to rejoice in the God of my salvation. I'm going to enjoy the Lord. It would be an awesome name, but it'd be too difficult to live up to. Joyful Baptist Church. That'd be a great name. But it's just so hard because life's so difficult. Life is just unpredictable, right? I feel good right now, so this is an easier message for me to preach. If I was on crutches or I was in a wheelchair or I was eaten up with cancer, as we spoke of with friends and loved ones and family, I still pray that there'd be a yet. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. I want us to understand, because if the reality is this, the task God's given us is daunting, is it not? But it's not on our shoulders, Mike. He has said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We have a yoke and we have a burden, but we aren't to carry too much. We are just to obey. We talked about that Wednesday night. But if you take Wednesday night's message too far, you'll get miserable in trying to obey. You follow me? I want you to never get too far from Christ. I want you to know this. It's all worth it because of Jesus Christ. He is the one. He's the God of my salvation. He is the joy of my life. And that's what I want us to focus on. I want us to enjoy each other. I want us to enjoy one another. But don't put your hopes in anything but Christ. And you'll never be disappointed. The key to joy, and I haven't talked this in a while, so my favorite passage in the Bible for Christians is abiding in Christ. If that's too small, turn to John 15 and you can see it there as well. But it's abiding in Christ. It is, Gabe and I talked about this yesterday. And Gabe, can you remember what's the analogy I gave for abiding in Christ? To live in Christ. What's the picture I gave? Can you remember that from yesterday? The cucumber becoming a pickle, all right? What's a pickle, Jacob? It's a cucumber. I don't like cucumbers, but I love pickles. You're like, they're different. They're the same, but different. Understand this. A Christian that abides in Christ, you soak in Christ. That word abide, you live in Christ. You soak in his love. You soak in Christ that you'll become a different person. Everybody else will see the same skeleton, the same carcass, but you'll be a different person when you abide in Christ. I will tell you this. You know, I used to have the five bases of Christianity. I've misled you. There are six bases of Christianity, and that's what I teach now. You're like, you always are changing. The six, well, because the Bible didn't tell us the bases of Christianity, so I get to make them up. Number one, abide in Christ. Abide in Christ. Abide in Christ. Abide in Christ. What that means is I don't want to get too far away from Christ. God wants me to enjoy life. He never wants me to joy apart from him. So look at this. He says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, and no more can ye except you abide in me. We want to have a fruitful week in Vacation Bible School. The only way we're going to have a fruitful week is if we abide in Christ. We can't have fruit in of ourselves. We have to abide in Christ. We have fruit through Christ. Follow that? He says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. I'm not going to talk about that, but it's just, I could, but for sake of time. If you abide in me, you see verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. I will tell you, He says, if you abide in me and I in you, your prayers will be answered. Affirmatively, they'll be answered yes, because when we abide in Christ, we want what he wants, and when we want what he wants, the answer is always going to be yes. Abiding in Christ. I want you to understand this, the simplicity. Wednesday, I talked, the avenue of blessings are obedience. I will tell you, the key to obedience is abiding in Christ. Okay? So understand this. Let's not, you know, you're like, I can't preach everything, every message. Obedience is important. Obedience is the gateway to blessings, but the key to obedience is abiding in Christ. We're going to see that. Okay? So he says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. So I tell you this, it's just soaking in Christ. It's meditating on Christ. It's dwelling on Christ. It's thinking on Christ. It's being obsessed with Christ in a good way, right? It's just, that's where I want to be. My greatest moments of the day would be time alone with Christ. Not, you know, you got 30 seconds, do you go to your phone? Learn to abide in Christ. I love this. It's becoming more cool to get rid of social media and to get a flip phone. I will tell you, if you can't stay off social media, I'm not talking ungodly things, get a flip phone. Todd will tell you where the best deal is. Todd's always had a flip phone. It's for national security reasons, and because the Chinese are hearing every word I say right now. But I might get him fired by saying that because he's disclosed too much. Now the next time he has a polygraph test, they'll be like, have you declared anything? He hasn't. I'm going to give him so much trouble. But it's like, anyway. Soak in Christ. What is it that you're soaking in today? It's probably not worth it. But I tell you this, enjoy him. You see, this is not about tasks, you know? Hee ho, hmm, hey. Some of you, when you woke up this morning, you're like, it's Sunday. I gotta listen to this guy. He doesn't even respect the clock. Oh. You know, enjoy the Lord, right? He says, and look at this. Herein is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit, so you shall be my disciples. How do we bear fruit? We abide in Christ. We can't bear fruit without abiding in Christ. He says, my Father's glorified when you bear much fruit. And he says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue you in my love. If you wonder what it means to abide in Christ, continue in the love of Christ. Think about how good God is. Think about how much he loves you. I love the songs this morning that, what's the title of it? Glorious Day. Glorious Day. That song I was made me very emotional. I'm not an emotional guy, but I got in the song and I just, all that Christ did for me, whew, that is love. Nobody's loved me like Jesus. Nobody's even close to loving me like Jesus. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Yes, Jesus loves me. I'll tell you this. Deb, where's Deb at? Right there. You can sing that at my funeral. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, for the Bible tells me so. I don't know if there's a better song. It's the best song in the world, that Jesus loves me. It's the best part of my life, that Jesus loves me. And he just says, you know, Steve, just abide in my love. Steve, just continue in my love. And then he says this, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. He says this, remember I told you this, obedience is the gateway to blessings, but the key to obedience is abiding in him. He says, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. You know what will cause us to be, our abiding to be broken? Sin. Remember I told you the key words, you know, sin is like 80% of the answer. Sin or Jesus, this was probably a bad one, so sin. Sin will break my fellowship with the Lord, and then I just restore it by just making things right. Obedience, gateway to blessings. Abiding is the gateway to obedience. Abiding in Christ is the answer to everything in life. Look at that last verse. These things, and I tell you this, abiding in Christ. These things have I spoken unto you, that your joy might remain, and that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is so awesome. if I ask you, do you want the joy of Christ? You don't have to sacrifice your joy. You see that? He says, these things have I spoken to you, that my joy, Jesus speaking, that Jesus' joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. I'll tell you, double barrel blessing, it's this. That you would have the joy of Christ and your joy would be full. Everybody's pursuing happiness. Happiness is in the Lord. Happiness is to know the Savior, right? Living a life within His favor. Happiness is, I don't know the rest. Happiness is the Lord. Real joy is mine, no matter. All right, so I just tell you, I tell you this. Every single person in this room, I don't think you're wrong for wanting happiness. Happiness is in the Lord. The joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord. I tell you this. And so you need to remember this message. Because I'm all the time, I'm like, what are we doing for Christ? You know, and you're like, not enough. And maybe that's true. Never get the doing ahead of Christ. We have a lot to do this week. It is one of the greatest privileges God could give us to minister unto the ones He cares so much about. Let's not get the doing ahead of Christ. I want you to think of Christ the whole week. I want you to understand this. When you're making the snow cones, you're making snow cones for Jesus, right? Never forget that, right? Todd, when you're doing the games, you're doing the games for Jesus. It's a different perspective because these kids are going to question your games. You know, when you're teaching Ron and that little guy there, he is like, make me sit, you know? And you're going to be challenged. Oh, I can. You know, and remember this, Jesus loves him. It's about Christ. It's about Christ. You see, if we forget, it's not about going to church. It's not even about serving the Lord. It's about Christ. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The blessings of enjoying the Lord, I'm going to go through these quickly because time has gone quickly. I just want to show you the blessings of the Lord. Strength. Nehemiah 8:10, you guys are familiar with this. Then said he unto them, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy unto the Lord. Neither be ye sorry, because they were convicted over their sin. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. Are you feeling weak today? Then it's the joy of the Lord is your strength. Enjoy the Lord. I'm not asking for delusional response. I'm telling you, the joy of the Lord is my strength. You, most of us in this room, we've seen people that have joy and we would never want their lives. 9 times out of 10, it's the Lord. I will ask people sometimes, I'll say, are you a Christian? And I don't usually do that. But sometimes people stun me. They have such joy. They have such life. They have such vibrance in life that I'm thinking the only way you could be loving life this much is you must know the Lord. And it has happened, not often. And when they say no, I'm like, well, I don't know what to say. But I mean, I do say something, but I usually say, you know, I want to tell you this. Your countenance, your spirit has encouraged me today. And if I have a tract on me, I'll go, I want to encourage you. God will use you mightily if you trust in Jesus Christ. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Is He your strength? I want you to know this. Life is just so hard. I mean, it is. Josiah, I appreciate you asking prayer for your job, right? Sometimes, maybe those prayer requests are hard. You're like, it's just a job. I got to make a decision, right? But man, you got more mouths to feed now, right? And you guys are going to have 14 kids. Is that what you told me? plus or minus 12. Plus. But it's this. If you don't sit back and just focus on Christ, it gets overwhelming. You can't do it. Let the joy of the Lord be your strength. He will give you peace, even with a job decision. It's not on you. Ask God for clarity. He cares. Let the joy of the Lord be your strength. Second, it's peace. I love this. This is, it's so important. At the end of the day, I want peace. He said, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. These are just different ways the Bible talked about abiding in Christ. Whose mind is stayed on thee. It's this. The moment we get distracted, we get our minds off of Christ. I tell people this. When you're reading the Bible, and you know, like I've just been going through Zacharias and Elizabeth with a few people, with John the Baptist, and Gabriel shows up, and Zacharias is like, oh, how you doing? And so, you know, in the temple, and what does Gabriel say? Fear not. Jesus shows up. John chapter 20. The doors were locked. Goes through the walls or something. And what does he tell him? Fear not. Fear not. Fear not. I want you to know this. You're not pathetic when something happens and the first thing is, oh, life's horrible. Here's the key. Our flesh will always respond with fear. What the Lord says, fear not, trust in me. Fear not, get your eyes on me. Fear not, get your eyes on me. He said, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. That's another perspective of abiding in Christ. Just keep your mind on Christ. Keep your mind on Christ. He'll give us strength. He'll give us peace, the joy of the Lord, fruitfulness. We've already seen that. But Psalm chapter 1, that's a small font. He says, I'm gonna do this. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Okay, so I'm going to read the first phrase of verse 1, verse 2, and verse 3. I'm just going to cut to the chase. Blessed, the word blessed can also mean happy. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Look at verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. Look at verse 3. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. When we don't listen to the ungodly, when we delight in the law of the Lord, God will make us fruitful. That's what he says. Right? Verse 3, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. It's so fascinating. You guys have gone, you know, canoeing or something. Have you ever seen these trees that are like sideways and you can't get a tree to grow if you plant it? You know why? Because it's by a river. And that tree's just showing off. He's like, you can't get a tree to plant. I can go diagonal, upside down. I've got the true nourishment and it's the rivers of water. God says this, I'll be the rivers of water. You plant in me, you abide in me, and I'll make you fruitful. I want you to understand this. I'll give you joy. I'll give you peace. I'll give you fruitfulness because I am all that. We forget Christ is everything. And then finally, this is just, I got four examples, so I'm not far from a close. Receiving the desires of thy heart. One of my favorite verses, Psalm 37:4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee desires of thine heart. You've heard me explain this. I don't mean that if you want a pink Cadillac, you know, for all you Mary Kay people, if you want a pink Cadillac, nobody even knows who Mary Kay is anymore. Man, am I aging myself. And the people that laugh, I'm not even encouraged that they laugh because they're really old. But if you know, it's just because you desire it, that's not what it's about. Delight thyself also in the Lord. You enjoy the Lord. He'll give you the desires of thy heart. I think it's either this. Your desires will be his desires because when you delight in him, you want what he wants. And so whatever you desire is what he desires, so he's going to give you what you desire because it's what he desires. Does that make sense? Do you want to have the mind of God? Then delight in him. Delight in him. He says this. Your desires will be his desires. So, Josiah, I go back to you. You're like, I'll never have a prayer request ever again. The key for you really understanding what God wants, delight in the Lord. You can't change yesterday, so just start enjoying the Lord. And I wouldn't make a major decision, Josiah, I'm going to tell you this, until you have peace. He's the God of peace. The key to peace is delighting in him. We don't do it to manipulate him, but you want what he wants. When you delight in him, he'll give you the desires of your heart because he'll give you what you should desire. That's good stuff, is it not? I tell you this, that the joy of the Lord, the key is enjoying the Lord. And then I'm going to finish with one verse. It's rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. I want us to enjoy events like Vacation Bible School. Sometimes I worry that people look forward to August 10th. And I know there's a place for that because it's a lot of work. And then I look in the mirror and I think, am I causing people to dread the work of God? I don't want us to. I want us to know, yep, there's labor involved, but the joy of the Lord is my strength. Rejoice in the Lord always. Always. And again, I say rejoice. I didn't really preach to the lost this morning. You know if you're lost, I'm confident with that. You've sat under my preaching enough. Jesus isn't your joy. He's not your delight. And I'm not trying to make you doubt. You could be saved and you've lost your joy. Yes, you can. If you're saved and you've lost your joy, you want it. There's people sitting here this morning, you just can't wait till I'm done. You don't want it. You don't believe it. You've rejected Christ. We love you. We're glad you're here. Oh, Christian, you know what I've preached is directionally true, and you could have specific issues. Who knows? The key to life as a Christian is abiding in Christ and loving it. I'll finish with this. You won't do it. You won't do anything if you don't enjoy it, right? When you enjoy Christ and you enjoy Him, you'll love every minute of it. There's going to be challenges. I'm not saying that. I'm just telling you, you do what you love. And remember the issue with the church at Ephesus in Revelation 2? They'd lost and they've left, not lost, they left their first love. Let's enjoy the Lord this week. Let's enjoy Him every week. Let's know this. There's a job to do. There's a world that's dying and going to hell. But I'll tell you this, the greatest privilege is to be in the army of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Let's pray. Father,